It's tough keeping up with the evolving technology of today's business environment. GFI Digital has you covered with office equipment, managed print, network, and advanced technology services. GFI also provides IT solutions ranging from basic help desk to being your fully outsourced IT department. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. Authorize Rico dealer. Call 314-997-6300 or visit them online at GFIDigital.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
Well, this is an amazing Peace Farms 9 o'clock hour, the official shrub. Company of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. So nice to have that. Bet they don't have that at 101.
Do you think any other radio station in this country
has
an official shrub?
Yep, Cam Wex. Yep, we got it from Cam Wex.
We stole their idea.
Yep.
Hey, Manic Monday, I found the article, Doug. One of the top 11 songs written by Prince for other artists.
Glamorous Life.
Guess what the number one is, because number two was Manic Monday. We just heard it by the band.
Glamorous Life, Sheila.
Number one, Nothing Compares to You.
Ah, yeah, I should have thought about that. He did perform it.
O'Connor.
He also did Feel For You, which was later remixed by Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
She had some hair.
How about this? Jungle Love, written
Morris
by Prince.
Morris Day and the Time. Yeah, he was involved with them.
And then, Doug, remember MC Hammer's song, Pray? You got to pray just to make it today. You know we pray.
Right.
Pray.
Nice. Now this is getting better.
Did he write anything for Otis Day and the Night?
That's not on the top 11. Mm. I don't know why it's not a top 10.
Yeah. This, the longer you two start talking about... now, it says Mike Lee is on line one. You guys have the
don't
Kelly
have
Chase up
him?
There. And, well, I don't know. It says Mike Lee is on line one. I guess I'll take my chances, but it says Kelly Chase.
A little hot take.
Unless Kelly's over at Mike's
Mike
house.
Lee's house?
Yeah, I guess that could be possible. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Yeah, that is not
there
the case.
No,
Kelly Chase presented by GFI Digital, live from Mike Lee's house here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Chaser, this is what it's all about. A game seven, Blues and Blackhawks. However, I think the mood of the fan base is one of great nervousness based on what's taken place in the last two games. Your thoughts on the festivities this evening at Scott Trade Center?
Yeah, it should be entertaining, and there's no question the fan base is. I can tell by the number of text messages saying, hey, "Can you please give us a sense of comfort right now? Because everybody's stressed about it, and really, you know, the only guys that can handle it are the guys in the room. So, you got to almost go about your business the same way. I think when I look at how this team has performed all season long. I hope that same resiliency is there. I honestly believe that it is, but I don't know that, you know, there's nothing you can really say at this point other than, hey, if you had a chance to knock off the Stanley Cup champions in a one-game playoff, would you want that chance? And that's what they have here. And so, hey, seize the moment, because a lot of these guys can write a story about their career based on this game. It sounds odd. But it really is going to make an impact on a lot of guys' careers as far as what they accomplish.
Yeah, and you get the feeling that the outcome of this game might go a long ways in determining the course the franchise takes over the next half a decade anyway. And I'm wondering, is that fair? I mean, if you go into overtime and David Backus takes a shot that hits the post and bounces out and you lose 3-2, do you say, well, we can't re-sign Backus, we don't win with him, and the coach has got to go, that's four in a row? Or if he hits a goalpost and it goes in and you win, do you say, hey, let's re-sign Backus and keep Hitchcock, we finally made it? It seems like it's an awfully small sliver to make decisions that are going to affect your whole franchise for a long time.
Well, as crazy as it sounds, that's exactly what's going to happen. I think that the determination of who stays and who goes is going to be based on whether they can battle this demon and win. If you can get rid of this smell of the Chicago Blackhawks, then you'll be determined a guy that's overcome the adversity that it takes to win. And if you can't, then they're going to have to change the mindset of the guys that are playing. And Doug Armstrong's not about to just go, you know, just because, you know, the Wolves are, you know, scratching on the front door, you know, go get the gun and start, you know, shooting. He's going to, you know, give it some time, assess some things. There'll be other things that he addresses immediately if they should lose. If they win, it's the same sort of a mindset. I think he's had discussions with certain players on contract extensions and said, listen, we're going to wait till after the playoffs are over now. We're at that point where we're going to do that. So there's both sides of it. They're not going to go handing out contracts if they win this series. It'll be determined at the end of the year, and they're not going to start, you know, firing guys out the door the day after when it comes to, you know, and when it comes to making decisions. So that's just how this is going to be played out.
Hey, Chaser, a lot of discussion. Doug asked you about it on Friday after Game 5, and it picked up steam after the cameras caught Tarasenko and Hitchcock having their exchange at the end of the second period regarding Tarasenko's ice time. What's your analysis on that topic?
Well, first of all, Vladdy's, if you take the number of shifts that he's played, everyone's talking about the ice time. If you take the number of shifts and compare the number of shifts that he had, I think, in a double overtime game, he played like 9 or 11 minutes less than the two what you would deem superstars on the other team. I think he had the same number of shifts as those guys. So Vladdy's is averaging about 31, 32. They're averaging about 49 seconds over the course of 40-some shifts. It starts to add up, whatever that you know comes out to, and that's where the minute difference is. That being said, I'm a huge believer in having a guy like that out for the a full minute and 52 minutes on the power play, because he may do nothing for a minute and a half, and then his hands are free, and he snaps them, flips them wrists over, and it's in the back of the net. So the other night they're making a lot out of one power play that, quite honestly, you know, they're at the end of their shift, so they put out the other unit because they've been successful at moving the puck around. And they wore that entire power play. They had opportunities. But if you're trying to get a game tied at some point and you would hope that it would have played out different, you would have thought that they would get on the ice. It just didn't work out like that. But you want to have that 91 on the ice, because Vladdy's ability to turn the wrists over in a hurry is what has been a difference in this series. Certainly Chicago has had to play differently against him in respect to hands.
And Chaser, when you have a game 7, there's obviously no tomorrow for a team if they lose. Do some of those rules go out the window? And how much, in terms of if you look at one player and say, we like him normally to play this amount of shifts or this amount of ice time, knowing that you have to win this game, how much do you think both Coach Q and Hitch, you know, basically kind of change what they normally would like to do just because they have to win this game?
Well, I don't disagree with that. I think you're going to see Quenneville, you know, his superstars are going to be on the ice all the time because he knows that this is, you know, this is their season. And same goes for Hitch. I mean, Vladdy wanted to be on the ice more, and I think that, you know, I hope he gets a good rest in the afternoon, because I would expect him to play plenty in this game. But with that being said, too, you know, like, this is where Joel's going to play his guys, I would assume, more just because he doesn't want to get the wrong matchup at the faceoffs. So in the flow of the game, when the puck is not stopped and he's continuing to roll lines, that's one thing. But what he's going to have to be cautious of is the line changes and who he puts out there. So I can assure you, Keith or Seabrook at stoppages of plays are going to be generally one of the two, if not both of them, are going to be out there. And in the offensive zone, you're going to see both of them, because he's trying to generate a chance with his two best players on the back end. So that's what he's going to make sure of. And so they're going to start with those guys on the ice, even if they just have to change on the fly, so he doesn't get the wrong matchup with Tarasenko out there with his third pairing of defense, for instance. And you're probably not going to see that. Quenneville is good a bench coach. Well, he's probably the best bench coach in the league right now. And I say that knowing that if you have the depth, it makes you a hell of a lot better coach. I mean, he's got the depth to be able to, and in the diversity of players to be able to do that. And that's a luxury for him. So I think St. Louis is got that same depth now. We'll see if they match it. And again, you know what? They can write their own story tonight.
Would you expect low-scoring physical game tonight or not? What, I guess the last game wasn't very physical when you see the...
Are we on there, boys? Because I'm not hearing anybody.
Oh, yeah.
The phones have struck. Are the phones...
Hello, London.
Can you hear us, Chaser?
Hello, London. Yeah. Mayday.
You can hear us now?
I got you now.
All right, go ahead. You were
how long did I talk to myself?
No, we heard you the whole time.
Yeah.
Doug talks to himself in a corner.
Doug's questions are usually bad anyway.
I was asking if you expect a low-scoring game or more wide open. There are hardly any penalties at all in the last game. Are guys afraid to hit a lot for fear of drawing a penalty?
I don't think so. I think the officiating has been extremely good, with the exception of when Robbie Fabry had the couple calls there. Other than I think it's been fairly consistent. They've allowed them to play. They haven't got carried away with, oh, let's take an extra guy so there's no pushing and shoving. I think the players have played. I would expect tonight it's going to be, I imagine the pace will be elevated even higher than it has been. And again, I think if you can get out to a good start and get that energy from the crowd in there, I like the Blues' chances tonight. I like the fact that they've got the best team, the Stanley Cup champions, to the seventh game, and they take that. If you're at the start of the year saying, hey, you got a chance in a seven-game series to knock them off in the seventh game, I think there's a lot of them that would sign up for that.
Yeah. Chase, I'm curious here. Any game seven's huge. There's nothing else to it. It's a one-game do or die. One team advances. One team season comes to an end. You have two rivals playing. It ups it. You have two teams that many believe could win the Stanley Cup playing tonight for it all. It ups it. But this is a unique spot as far as the importance for this era goes. And we started off the interview discussing that in some capacity. But here you have an organization that's had some great regular seasons over the last few years, but hasn't been able to break through. And what takes place about 12 hours from now, fair or unfair, will play a large role in defining this era. Because as we said, no matter what, if they lose, there are going to be some changes. On the other side of it, if they win, there's a very good chance that this team advances to the conference finals. It's not to dismiss the Dallas Stars. It's just to speak of how good both these teams are. So therefore, not only is it a Game 7 with the usual excitement and a Blues-Blackhawks game, which has excitement in October, much less late April, but it also is an era-defining game, and therefore the importance is even higher. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I think so. I think, like I said, it's going to define a lot of these players. A lot of these players who are... San Jose had to face the exact same thing. Okay, yeah. They had to get rid of the demons of the LA Kings. And the Thorntons and the Marlowes and the guys that have been there a long time had to get that smell off their hands, because that's what it was. They were looked upon as guys that couldn't win the game that they needed to win, and LA was their nemesis, and they were the team they couldn't beat, and Kopitar and those guys had better pedigree and cared more and all that stuff. That's really what's going to happen here, and the defining some of the guys that have been here a long time. At the end of this playoff run, that's how it'll be viewed. It'll be viewed as whether or not the St. Louis Blues were able to overcome a situation where, they're in a big game and the Hawks players who have already proved that they're winners, they've already proved this, so the Blues have got to get over that hump, get that smell off their hands. And if they can, it changes the attitude about the players around the league. And, hey, because I think there was a time where, San Jose, for instance, San Jose and St. Louis might have been talking about trades at some point. I'm just making this up. But they said, well, really, we're trading apples for apples because our guys haven't really accomplished, what they set out to do yet, and neither of our guys. So this is a defining moment for them. Can they accomplish that? Can they get over that hump?
So if they can't get over the hump and you have to make changes, what would you do? What are the Blues' weaknesses? Where could they be better?
Well, they've been pretty good this year, but I'm not going to start assessing what they have to do, I think, right now, but I think what they have to do is win. And if they don't win, what they'll do is, they'll look to another group of guys that can come in here. I think they've done a good job of that. I don't think Parayko and Fabry have any idea, and maybe even Vladdy for that matter, of any idea really the depth of where this is with, the fan base and the city and how they feel about Chicago and L.A. and getting over the hump, because they're relatively new to this process. So they'll probably make changes if that happens, if they were to get to that point where that's exactly what you'd see. Them finding a way to get guys in here. Look at San Jose. They brought in They have either 11 or 14 new hockey players from the seasons, the past seasons. And that's a big turnover of players on any team. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to have guys that memory of not being successful wasn't in. It's not in Ward's mind. It's not in Demers' mind. It's not in those guys' mind when they're there playing. They're just out there playing the game, hoping to have success, and they did against L.A. because they didn't know what happened in the past with L.A.
Right.
They didn't care.
Right. Kelly Chase, presented by GFI Digital. They have you covered from office IT solutions to copiers, equipment, and supplies. We use GFI Digital at Inside STL. We recommend it to you as well. Let the experts at GFI make technology simple for your business. GFIDigital.com, the presenting sponsor of Kelly Chase's Stanley Cup Playoff Report here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Chase, we always appreciate it, brother. Looking forward to the festivities this evening at the Scott Trade Center and your call with Mr. Chris Kerber. Thanks so much, brother.
It'll be great. Thanks.
Thank you. Kelly Chase with us here this evening. He says it is a defining moment for this group of players.
Well,
no question about it.
I just think you'd have to be really careful about making big changes. When we've had former players on here saying, well, sure, if they get by Chicago, they should be able to handle Dallas and maybe go all the way to the... If you're that close now, I don't think you need a huge shakeup, even if it doesn't work out tonight.
Well, what's your definition of huge shakeup? I think if you change the head coach, and again... Nobody's trying to indict David Backes, but the fact that he is, I think he's over 30, and he's going to be an unrestricted free agent, he's probably going to get a nice offer out there. That is your captain. And again, I'm not saying it's because of the way he plays, but I do think if you had a head coach and your captain changed, that's a pretty big change.
Yeah, I wouldn't agree with it.
But also,
I wouldn't agree to make those changes.
Like,
if you're this good now and you're this close to where one goal might be the difference in making a long run, you're better than everybody else on the table that you can tell. I think you got to be really careful about saying, "Oh, we lost again. Let's change the deck completely." I know there's
not,
a lot of people going to want to do that.
Change.
I mean, that'd be a big change. You change your head coach and a guy like Backes, that'd be a pretty big change.
But, Doug, also, again, you have to look at it. You can't just look at it this year, which, again, I've said it a million times. I do think it's a different team, and I think the Hawks are a great team, and I think the Blues are a great team. But you have to look at a 5 years worth of a resume now, and especially the last four. And if you say 4 years they've been great in the regular season and four straight years they haven't made out of the first round, in a playoff where 16 teams get in, I mean, a lot of teams get in the NHL, in the playoffs, and they haven't made it out in the last 4 years, that's a big disappointment.
Oh, I know it is.
And
I'm quite sure that there will be big changes if they don't. I'm saying you ought to be careful because there's a lot of guys on this team that had nothing to do with what happened 2-3 years ago, a lot of them.
Understandable. And also, it's not like they're going to get rid of Tarasenko and Fabry and Jaden Schwartz and Colton Parayko. I mean, you have a lot of good young building blocks.
Doug, just real quickly, there's a gentleman outside picketing in a half shirt walking up and down Hampton with a Free Dotem placard.
His arm is in a cast, too. Looks like he
Tim, I can confirm that's Cucky the dwarf.
Oh, it is Cucky.
How's that make you feel?
Who broke his arm?
Plops.
Really?
Yeah, he's trying to win that email of the month, April.
And he's going to stand. He's now taking a selfie of himself.
That's
lime green sign.
One of the greats. Doug, you said that
he's sending in his email right now.
Oh, wow.
That could be what he's doing. It's not a
Is that odd for you to see a 40-year-old guy out there in a half shirt?
Very odd. Very odd. Not that hot.
Is he filing his email? He's tendering his email?
Plowhawk, did you have a chance to talk to him?
Yeah, me and him are kind of good buddies.
Yeah, you get high together, don't you?
Heaven's sakes. Here come the police for Cucky.
Nurse?
What's up, boys?
Well, you were asked a question.
I'm sorry, I didn't put on my headset. Excuse me. I'm about to miss the question. What's up?
You're good buddies now with Cucky the Dwarf.
I like the Cuckster. Yeah, he has quality emails, and he's just generally a nice guy.
And you smoked him up.
Actually, we did in the Lumina after the improv shop.
Yep.
In the Lumina after the improv shop.
That's right.
Do you have a special bond with somebody after you've done illegal drugs with them?
No, not really, Doug. Good question. But,
Great
no,
question.
Just... I think you find out who the real guy is behind Cucky, and I think he's a fantastic American.
Yep. Patriot.
Huh.
But the fact that a lot of times the Plowhawk has the deciding vote and ties with email,
yep.
And this is his smoke buddy.
Good point, Chuck.
Kind of
wow. Wow.
Plops right now. I'm not too happy about that.
Wow. It's a nice half shirt that he's wearing. It's very high. It reveals a lot of the midriff.
I'm going to nip that right in the bud real quick. Charlie, if you've heard his emails and seen what he's sent in, he's obvious, the obvious choice for 90% of those.
No, the talent is surely there. And also, Doug, he's not 40. He looks like he's about 25.
Well, I can't
How
tell.
Old is he?
It's a rough 25.
He's like 25.
At the Q&A, he said he was a 40-year-old father and he was looking for parenting advice from Doug.
Yeah. If he's only 25, it's been a rough go.
That guy right there.
Yeah.
There's no way that guy's over.
The guy in the yellow half shirt in front of us. That's the one we're pointing to.
Yeah.
Why isn't he coming up to the window?
I don't know. He kept walking.
The shrub walker does that.
He's probably going up to Steak and She.
Steak and She.
Guys, it's weird that a guy named Cucky doesn't have a job to go to this Monday. That's from Mario in Chicago. I believe he's one of the Pandolfos.
Oh, yeah. And they're a snootful.
Some people work nights,
Pandolfo
though.
Brothers. Well, I know some people work nights, myself included.
Myself as well.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this game tonight.
You're damn right you are. It's a game 7 against the Chicago Blackhawks. What else do you want?
Listen, I'm saying this is why we get in the business, though, to go cover games like tonight.
And the playoffs are so much fun. You hate to have it just all end. And then we got nothing but baseball. We don't have football this year to talk about.
Shot at Missouri.
Hold on a second.
So it's going to be, let's
break
down.
Football teams, Missouri.
Let's break down the Cardinals batting order again today.
How about those college teams? Yeah.
Cardinals missed
pretty well.
Cardinals missed a relay.
Paterno. How's he? We going to bring that back, huh?
People literally threw themselves off the balcony when they heard that.
Plowhawk's working on the drop. Right. You know, Kyle, it was his last day on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Kyle Tipton.
That's right. He's got a new gig. Mm-hmm. You know what he's doing? Getting out of the business.
Yeah, well.
He's doing marketing, correct?
Good football teams. Those college teams are good, huh? What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
When you think of the state of Missouri in football over the last 6 months, it has been magical.
Yeah.
And just good college teams, though,
I'm not sure they won a game, did they?
Yeah. I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back? Right?
That's it. Some of them decided not to live any longer after they heard that.
How about that whole deal?
So not only is he dead, but he also had a little bit of a scandal.
Mm-hmm. Just a wee bit. I mean, you really have to be out of touch to not know that Joe Paterno's not with us anymore, don't you? And that there was a bit of an issue up there. I mean, that's seriously out of touch.
I agree.
Doug, only lame fanboys get excited for Game 7 of a first-round series.
You know, yeah, I disagree.
Because we have so many Game 7s in the Stanley Cup Finals, we should save it for that. We've never had a Game 7 in the Stanley Cup Final here, ever. We've made it there 3 times, got blanked each time, 4 and out.
Who got us? Bruins?
Montreal twice, and the Bruins.
Bobby Orr.
Mm-hmm. 4 and out, both times.
A couple of those games were close.
They were. They were very close.
That's puck luck, Doug.
Enough for Scotty Bowman to say, I'm out of here.
That's the only coach in Blues history to leave and then go on to win a cup.
No, Joel Quenneville has done it as well.
I don't know about that.
Did Jacques Demers do it?
He had a good run in Montreal. I don't think they won the Chalice, though. Yeah.
There's somebody else now joining Cucky for selfies.
Oh, gosh. Who's this fella? Yeah, he's coming. This is the guy that
he's coming all the way up.
The shrub walker?
Yeah.
Chuck, it's the shrub walker.
Shrub walker, what's up, Chuck?
Hashtag free dotum.
I like that.
He's going to break that window one day.
Yep.
And you know who will be paying for it?
You will.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Doug, Ryan Kelly allows people to walk into the shrubs, doesn't he? Because he's our title sponsor.
Well, hopefully we can get a good mortgage and maybe find a studio where the people can't see us from outside. And if we're looking for that mortgage, the guy I would personally call is Ryan Kelly. Even if I'm looking to refinance this current mortgage where we are now to maybe take some money out and put up windows that, you know, where they can't see us, that might be a bonus too. Ryan Kelly could make that happen and in the process save you a lot of money. Hundreds, sometimes thousands of, could be tens of thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. If you got a 30-year loan and you got a really low interest rate and you have had a high interest rate, you're literally throwing away money, and Ryan Kelly wants you to stop it.
Wow.
Stop throwing away your cash. You have to ask yourself, why would I go anywhere else? I don't know. That's where I went when I refinanced my mortgage. I went to Ryan Kelly. So you ask yourself, what am I waiting for? If you have a mortgage that's in like the 4%, stop it. Call Ryan Kelly. He was just named the number one mortgage lender for most loans closed in the Midwest by the Scotsman's Guide. He was number three in the nation for FHA volume, number nine in the nation for most loans closed last year. Why does he close so many loans?
Why?
Because he gets you great rates and the service is fantastic and it goes by without a hassle. You're fooling yourself if you're going to go somewhere else for a mortgage. I've been trying to tell people this for years. And I'm continually have to do it. So you're saying, okay.
A lot of spit in your mouth right
now. I'm really getting worked up into a lather, Timmy.
Use that cough button.
Ah, here's the number. 314-781-9700. 314-781-9700. Or visit their website at thehomeloanexpert.com. Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Have you, Nitwits, posted a picture of Cucky the Dwarf and the Shrubwalker yet on the Twitter tweets? So get that out
actually,
there.
I just put Cucky now has a fan base. I actually took the picture of him having the Shrubwalker take a selfie of him.
Wow, Doug.
It's
nice.
Beautiful.
Cucky's kind of the face of our fan base right there. He represents... The broad cross section, it's all pretty much wrapped up in this one fellow. He's broken down a little bit. He's in a cast. Someone's beating him up. He's not clean shaven. He's wearing a half shirt that looks like it was out of maybe 1971. And he's just he's got no job. Of course, he's marching up and down the street. Nothing else to do. And he's very very happy with himself.
Yes, E-Monster. What's going on?
Oh, I just wanted to let you know that I just tweeted out a couple of pictures of Cucky on the morning show account a minute ago.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Yep, there it is.
Well, I suppose if we pay too much attention to him, we're going to have more people down there every day, Tim.
Well, that's the name of the game.
They're awfully close to Hampton. They're just a couple of feet away from the road. I don't want to see anybody get hit
by a car. You know who has to pay for that?
You pay for that.
See, Charlie, there's a lot of upside. Mm-hmm. I like the upside.
So you're telling me if a fan... with a half shirt and a poster, gets hit by a car,
yes.
That's your fault.
Right. Well, sure, we're an attractive nuisance. It's like having a swimming pool in your backyard. If you don't have a fence around it and the neighborhood kid goes in there and drowns it, your fault because you had an attractive nuisance.
Understandable. And we had a pool growing up, and we have a fence.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is you have a window here, you have a building. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be Tim's fault that somebody got hit by a car.
No, you don't know much about the law, do you?
Man, you got to get Larry on a workout program. You going to get him food? Going, I don't understand. It's my response? Man, Larry's posting pictures on news anchors, posting comments on news anchors around town. What are you doing about that? I don't know. He doesn't really work for me.
Yeah.
But if that's what you want to do, is
what's everyone else doing about it?
I'm providing moral support.
Nice.
That's nice. That is.
Guys, the Cuckster is self-employed, diaper-changing station, traveling salesman.
All right. I don't know that. I don't know what he does.
You know, with the half shirt, I have to say, he's in pretty good shape, Doug.
The bus just stopped to pick him up. They figured, you can't have a car. You must need a ride.
It was funny, too, because a gentleman walked by in a really nice suit. He had a nice, like, suitcase. And then he walked in the building, and he's like, who the hell just moved in downstairs?
Mm-hmm. Now he's frightening people with the sign. This is going poorly for us.
Yeah, if you're driving on Hampton, take a good look.
Yes, Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Yeah, calm down a little bit.
All right. I'm in a bad way, Doug.
Why?
We got to win this game tonight. It's really torturing me. I can't get anything done today. My wife is pissed at me because I'm moping around the house because we lost Saturday night. It's a bad way, Doug.
Yeah. Well, are you
I might
going?
Light myself on fire like that Buddhist monk.
No, don't do that.
Ray J. Machine if we lose.
Uh-uh. Just a hockey game is all it is. Just a game.
Skate.
Just entertainment.
No,
skate,
done.
Boy, skate.
Doug.
Yes.
We got to win.
I know, but it's just entertainment.
Quit this BS. We're blowing the thing up if we lose because it's been 5 years, Doug.
I don't care. It's been five terrific years in the regular season. They've got
five
lots of talent.
Horrible years. Regular season means nothing. We need a cup.
Well, Doug, you're not going to say it means nothing if you change everything and you don't get in the playoffs next year.
Doug, what about the thousands of dollars I've spent on these stupid-ass playoff tickets and we've lost every year?
Have you been entertained?
Are you going to be at the game tonight, Doug?
Yes.
Good.
Well, have you been entertained when
Mike
you go
Lee
to these playoffs?
Are you not entertained?
Nice.
Mike Lee have tickets?
Doug, I don't believe he does.
Well, Caruso better get on that.
Well, you think he's the lucky charm?
Yeah. If we lose, I better see some lesbianism just to make me feel better, right? Because I'm going to be with my son.
You're going to set that up? Tim's talking to that.
It's a special moment to share with my son.
Where are you going to watch the game tonight?
Section 110, row BB.
Oh, you'll be there.
Right? Blessed.
Hashtag what? Blessed.
Oh. Yeah, I think I would go. I'm going to check StubHub and see what the latest ticket is. I think it's going to wind up being a buyer's market. That's what I think. I know that sounds odd for a Game 7 with the Blues and Blackhawks. I just feel like there's a saturation of tickets. That's what I think.
My seats are like 125 face, but then I sell them for 250.
Also Hard University.
I see tickets on the low end, $109, way upstairs in the end, $109. And the best seats are going for $816, but that's all you can eat on the glass. You can get all you can eat on the glass for $350 in Section 107.
Do you need all you can eat, Doug? You look like you gained some weight when I saw that picture.
Well, I like all you can eat, sure.
Did you gain some weight? It looked like it from that picture.
I'm about 192.
Ooh, you were down to 180. What happened?
I was down to 182. I know. I'd hurt my shoulder. I can't work out anymore.
What about cardio?
You hurt your legs. You hurt your shoulder.
I know. I hurt them both, and I'm going to therapy and everything. I can't work out like I used to.
Does your shoulder impact how much food you
put in
your
mouth? Come in there and rub it for you.
The shoulder does not impact. I don't use silverware anyway.
Okay.
Why don't you get a shot or something?
Get a shot. Well, I don't need a shot. I have what they call frozen shoulders, ligaments inflamed.
Hot yoga. It cures.
Well, now don't tell me
shoulders.
What to do.
Yeah, Bikram. Yeah.
Did you just tell me what to do?
Sounded like it a little bit.
Yeah. I'm trying to help you.
Well, okay, I appreciate it.
All right. Love you guys.
Okay.
I think Fabry for the winner in the third period.
There it is.
Bang!
We'll be playing this one for years because Stephen Wildwood will have called it.
3-2 blue note on a Fabry goal. I'll go with that.
Well, I'm going to pick a 1-2 just in case I get lucky then.
The owner of the... you want to make the pick now?
I'm going to say Tarasenko with the snipe.
Mm-hmm.
Late in the third period, Doug. 4-3 note. Just to be a positive, I want to be a positive
beacon in the night
energy for this fan base and this city that so badly needs it.
Yeah, we do. That we do. And I don't know that it'll lead to any scissoring. I don't think that it has to in the first round.
I think tripping goes down on Monday nights, on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, much higher. Mm. Boy, I do like that, though.
Cucky the Dwarf has a motorist pulled over now. And he's speaking into the car.
And what is that motorist driving? That looks like, a 2016
old
Range Rover?
Cop car. It looks like an old cop car.
Oh, I must be looking at the wrong car.
It's that type of car that you really get annoyed at when you're driving on the highway because you look in your rearview mirror and you think it's a cop, but it's just somebody who bought an old cop car.
Is that a Crown Victoria? Crown Vic?
The owner of this building just texted me and said, is that your guy out there? See what I mean, Charlie?
Yeah.
He said, I love it. It's time for you guys to cause a ruckus. Well, we have.
Mm.
I like it.
Took a couple weeks.
I was excited for Monday, though. Usually after the weekend, you're like, Monday, work week. But because it's Game 7, Doug, I was actually excited for a Monday.
This is what it's all about, Monday. Jackie Papers. Ooh. This is what it's all about, man. This is why you clock in early. This is why you leave late. This is why you do the extra reps. Okay. This is why you do the extra set, okay?
All you got to do is turn the TV on. You don't really have to do an extra rep. That's all you got to do. Have some food and drink available and turn the TV on. Doesn't require extra reps. Let's keep this in perspective, fellas. But it is fun. I hate to see the season come to an end just because it's so much fun, game to game and the whole playoff.
Imagine another atmosphere. 6 weeks maybe of fun, exciting playoff hockey.
Now, I can't make some of the Stanley Cup Finals, Chuck. I have a wedding I have to go to.
Oh, really?
Where's and now we're not going to be seeing the Blues play the Panthers.
Yeah, they're out.
Yep.
And that's what we predicted, I think, at the start.
Now Blues Capitals, Blues Panthers.
Yeah. Well, we've missed some predictions before. Not many.
Give me an example.
But this one. Well, about everything that we've picked usually comes up poorly for us. Things go sour.
Right.
Doug, who scores the game winner?
Fabry, I think. I just got talked into Fabry.
Okay.
I got Franklin.
Ryan Franklin?
No, Frank. Tank.
Frank the Tank?
Yeah. Also known as Franklin. That's his Russian name.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yep. Let's see what we got going on here. I think this is Cucky the Dwarf from outside.
He is on the phone.
Hello, Cucky.
Cucky, hello.
Yes, is that you, Cucky?
Wait, no, Cucky, that's me. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hey, guys, I'm outside.
Yeah, we saw you out there.
Come to the window so we can see you as we're talking to you.
Yeah, this will be good,
cool.
Doug.
Hey, might have to shut her down a little bit earlier than I would have liked to.
Why is that?
Gentleman just came up to me in an unmarked police car, is what I thought it was, and he said, sir, you might get a citation for demonstrating. And I was like, oh, all right, well, demonstrate, it's America, woo. And he's like, no, usually prostitutes get those. So I think the midriff may have been a bad move. But
oh, that's what he was upset by.
Getting a lot of positive response out here, boys.
You're in trouble because you're scantily clad?
I think so. Well, I already have two of those charges, so I'm not trying to get a third.
Right.
I think we're in a three strikes, you're out type situation.
Yep. What'd you do to earn the first two charges?
Oh, you don't even want to know. Or act like you don't know. That's even better.
Oh, you bastard.
Ah, yes, sir.
I should have said that first.
Come to the window.
Come to my window.
I'll be home
Which
soon.
Window are you guys? Is this the one with the shrub walker?
Yes.
Yeah, there's Cookie.
Hey, there guys. Oh, hold on. It's windy out here.
Look at that.
Get a load of the midriff, though.
Yeah, we see. Like
pretty well, nice.
He's just been hammered by the Hoosier stick.
Why is this window so foggy?
Well, because people like you, Charlie. We don't want you to see us.
Oh, the shrub walker's got the free dotum going.
Yep.
Can you see inside?
Can you see out there?
I can barely see inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's cool.
Well, I'm making direct eye contact with Doug Vaughn right now.
He can see well enough.
What are you thinking, Cucky?
What's going on?
What are you thinking as you look into Doug's eyes?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? My mind is a whirlwind.
Okay. Back away from the glass, please, Custer.
This is like that scene, though, at the end.
Thank you, Cucky.
It's like the scene at the end of Silence of the Lambs where Buffalo... is it Buffalo Bob or Buffalo Bill?
Like Buffalo Bob or Bill? I think it's Bob.
Buffalo Bob. He has the night vision. He has the night vision goggles, and he has all the power because she can't see him.
Right.
Oh, that's a bad beat.
Right.
Clarice.
It's kind of like me when I'm in the shrubs at Billy G's watching lesbianism
with night goggles.
Mm-hmm.
If it's at
might
night.
Might be. Huh?
A lot of people join the fan page to look at those pictures.
You're kidding me.
Nope. We picked up about 30 new members.
No, we did.
Yeah, we did.
How many members total?
4,840.
I would think there'd be more, actually.
Sorry, it's not good enough. I'm sure there are all kinds of shows all over the area with larger numbers.
Well, I deleted myself, so a lot of people probably followed suit.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. Doug, the poll on the fan page, if you had to put a decent amount of cash on it, which team would you bet in tonight's Game 7, Blackhawks or Blues? Right now, 208 say Blackhawks, 73 say Blues.
Way to stick with your club, Bluesers.
But Doug,
come on, get some positive.
There's a trend, and I get it. But until you have to become the team that beats the Hawks, you have to do it. Nobody's going to believe it until you do it. It's like the Cubs. The Cubs are going to be the Cubs until they're not.
Wouldn't you pick the Cubs to win it this year?
I probably would. They're the favorite, but also we've seen years and years of awful playoff defeats. So until they actually overcome that, they're still going to be the Cubs. And all their fans are still going to worry about the shoe dropping until they see it happen.
Yeah. Well, you worry about it every year. Even when you won it the last year, I'm sure Blackhawk fans are still nervous that, uh-oh, we're going to get bounced out tonight?
Okay, but let's look at the last 5 years or so. Isn't there a much different mindset locally when the Cardinals enter the postseason and the Blues enter the postseason?
Sure.
When the Cardinals enter the postseason, you always say, okay, this is when they're going to do something. They're going to make their move, even if they're not a great team in the regular season. The Blues, a lot of fans think the exact opposite. How is this going to end badly? You know, in what way now is it going to end poorly for us?
Well, I don't know. I tend not to think that way. I know most people do. I always seem to think my team's going to win. And when they don't, I'm bummed out for a while, but then I pull for them again the next year just as hard, regardless of if they broke my heart the year before.
Well,
Doesn't matter.
All pull for them hard. I'm just saying that fans here have been beat down by some tough defeats in recent years.
So. It's a defining moment for fans as well.
Yes.
And I don't blame people for it. There are a lot of people, and I would include myself in that, and then the hockey media police then chastise you for it. It's just how I feel. I don't bust people's balls over how they feel. If they feel one way, great. I personally can't get excited about regular season hockey until around February or March. It's just how I am. I don't know what to say. And part of that, I'm sure, is growing up spoiled that the Blues would be in the playoffs every single year. The other element of it is that in the Stanley Cup playoffs, for whatever reason, versus the NBA, the top seeds, top couple of seeds, doesn't matter what your regular season is, get bounced, and oftentimes. So, therefore, it decreases the importance of the regular season versus the NBA, where it's so rare for a one seed to lose in the first round. I mean, God, you can think of, you know, you have to go back like 20 years for like the Sonics and Nuggets, I think it was in the early 90s on that one, Dikembe Mutombo holding the ball on the floor. after they upset the Sonics, it's just a rare deal. So therefore, it decreases the importance. So if you have yet another regular season with 109 points, and it's a 100-point regular season, and you lose in the first round, and another playoff series where you're up big, whether it be 2-0 or 3-1, and you lose, all that does is make people go, well, the regular season is less important. And so from a business standpoint, both short-term, it hurts the organization because they don't have that second-round ticket revenue, and then from a long-term perspective, it also will hurt because more people will go, oh, it's just the regular season. It doesn't matter if they have 115 points because we've seen what's happened so many years in recent past. Whether you think that's right or wrong or fair or unfair, it is realistic. On the other hand, if they are to win tonight, the city is engrossed in Stanley Cup playoff madness, not just the hardcore fans, but people going, all right, we have slayed the dragon. As Chase said, we had to get the smell of the Kings off the Sharks' gloves. The Blues get the smell of the Blackhawks off theirs, and now they are, you know, they've gotten through, and they got a chance against the Dallas Stars to, once again, because they do it every 15 years, go to the Western Conference Finals. 86, 2001, 2016. And the last time they went, they beat the Dallas Stars by sweeping them in 2001, The two-time Western Conference defending champions.
Okay.
And tonight is Game 7.
Nice. I'm not going to talk that way.
Game 7.
I'm not going to.
Say that tonight on the 4 News.
Game 7. I'm not going to.
Loser mentality, Charlie. I can't believe I'm hearing this from an Ohio State fan.
You know what? As an Ohio State fan, again, growing up in the John Cooper era, I feel like Ohio State's going to lose to Michigan every single year. That's just how the fan base is because it happens so often. You really can't celebrate until the clock strikes zero. That's all I'm saying. You have a different mentality if you're the St. Louis Cardinals, if you're the San Antonio Spurs, if you're the Chicago Blackhawks. It's almost like this is your time when it gets to the postseason. A lot of fan bases think the exact opposite.
Yeah. Well, the fan bases probably do. I'm sure the players don't.
Agreed.
I'm sure there's not a
and
player.
You're basing this on the John Cooper era.
No. I'm sure every Blues player that suits up tonight will think, yeah, we're going to win this. Sure.
Have you ever heard of Tish Munga, Yakubatuka?
Yep.
313 yards.
Yep. Now what do you think about the Blues and Blackhawks?
313 yards.
Now
John Cooper,
changes everything.
The Buckeyes were 11-0 almost every single year when they faced Michigan, the final game of the season. Yeah. And Lloyd Carr and the Wolverines, they were always about 8-3. They're always about 8-3. And they always won.
Okay.
Look it up, Doug.
John Cooper was on the sidelines in Columbia, Missouri for my 21st birthday.
Was he?
Yep. Andy Katzenmoyer laid out Corby Jones. You remember that hit?
I remember that. Was that about 94, 95?
97. It was my 21st birthday.
Okay.
He was wearing a red vest, wasn't he?
Cucky's now.
He got a drink from across the street.
It is ran in our shrubs.
He almost got hit by a car.
He's going to get hurt out there. He's going to fall off the ledge. He's going to get hit by something horrible.
He has a broken wrist.
Cucky.
He has a cast on his wrist.
Are you sure?
Oh, man. It's not easy.
What the hell do you want? Yes.
The last time Doug Vaughn won a local Emmy was in the year 2000.
Is that true?
Okay.
I don't remember.
That same year, the Blues lost in Game 7 in the first round of San Jose.
Okay. Where'd you get that information?
You do the math.
I don't remember it.
So it's Doug's fault.
These new phone lines, I can't hear you too well.
Well, that's okay.
Huh?
That's we don't care if you can hear us. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay.
Why don't you open your fat mouth up and I can listen to you talk?
Well, because we're not supposed to have to yell. We got a microphone 3 inches from our mouth.
Well, you're going to have to yell if you want us to conversate, okay, old man?
Well, turn your hearing aid up there. Can you hear me now?
Oh, good. Good one. A 26-year-old with a hearing aid, stupid.
Well, it happens all the time.
Sick of hearing you. It's a definition of insanity is what you're talking about. Okay?
No,
oh, don't blow the team up even though they lose the first round every year. Yeah, you blow the team up.
No,
that's what you do.
Uh-uh.
Charlie is right for the first time in his damn life.
Now, wait a second.
Don't blow it up.
Now, I didn't say blow it up, but I think a head coaching change in a couple players, that's a significant change.
This is the team Doug Vaughn wants. Doug Vaughn, everybody in St. Louis, listen. Doug Vaughn wants them to lose to Chicago in the first round because he's okay with that, because he wants to go to bed early, because he doesn't give a crap.
No, you twisted that around poorly. I want them to win. I don't want them to break up the team. I think they got a great team right here. They may not win tonight. They may not. But I still would not want them to blow it up.
whatever point you're making, I can't hear.
Well, then
so
go
quiet.
Away from
stupid.
Us.
Stupid.
Thank you, Adam.
Strong call.
You couldn't hear us, Tim.
I've never said blow it up. I don't know how that got put on my show.
It depends on your definition of blow it up. If getting rid of the head coach and a couple veteran players, I don't know. That's borderline blowing it up.
I wouldn't call that blowing
that's
it up.
That's pretty
at
close
all.
To blowing it up. I mean, you're not going to get rid of 10 or 12 guys.
Okay. So if you go across, Doug, the four major sports anywhere, if you have a team with high expectations for four straight years, great regular seasons, and they lose in the first round four straight years in any major sport mm-hmm. in North America, there's probably going to be significant change.
Marty Schottenheimer would attest
correct.
To that. Yep. And you go 14-2 one year and got fired?
And I'm not saying it's right, but that will happen.
It's a business thing. I do think it needs to be a more nuanced discussion now. And I think a lot of people would point to an easy one. I mean, hell, the memories are all around you right now because Joel Quenneville was fired after the 2004 season. It's a team that had been to the playoffs every year with him as head coach, but coming off of a disappointing 2003 in which they were up 3-1 on the Canucks, and then they wound up losing that series in the first round where a lot of people thought the door was open for that team to advance to the Stanley Cup Final. You had a situation where they lose 3-1 after being up 3-1 on the Canucks. They lose the series after being up 3-1. And then they have a kind of a haphazard 2004, and he gets whacked with a few weeks left in the season. That team wound up losing in the first round of the Sharks. And then you didn't see him in the playoffs again until 2009. And now you see what he has done. Now, Joel Quenneville is a much younger coach at the time than Ken Hitchcock is. But I do think it requires more nuance. The difference with Quenneville versus Hitchcock is that team did go to the Western Conference Finals in 2001. It did beat the Blackhawks in the first round in 2002. This one has continued to have issues in the postseason, in particular in the first round. Mascot is the company, along with St. Louis Computer Services, that built the new Inside STL, and they're building our new media kit right now. And we recommend you give them a call to do business for you, 314-650-9383. 314-650-9083, online at mascotagency.com. Their passion is creating brands, then cheering them on. Their passion is creating brands, then rallying behind them. They're the people's champ, your favorite agency's favorite agency. It's Mascot Agency, 314-650-9083. Like them on Facebook at Mascot Agency and follow them on Twitter at Meet Mascot, Mascot Agency. Great sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and the company we hired to build the new InsideSTL.com. Doug, the golf tournament is just 2 weeks away from this Friday. It's going to be a pony out at Normandy. InsideSTL.com Golf Open on May 13th at Normandy Golf Course, presented by Kenrick's Meats. With the weather warming up, there is only one place to go for all of your delicious meats, and that is Kenrick's. Man, that's some good stuff. Whether you want to barbecue it, whether you want to smoke it, or you just want somebody to do it for you and it's all ready to go, Kenrick's has it for you. Can't recommend them enough. I've been enjoying. My dad's been going there for barbecue purposes for years. We recommend them wholeheartedly online at Kenricks.com, 4324 Weber Road. That's Kenrick's Meats and Catering. They're your party people. You know what it's time for now?
What?
Hold on a second. Well, this. Yeah.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, the whirlwind out here, so I forgot earlier, but happy first anniversary to my beautiful wife. And it was her idea for me to do this. So I just want to say thank you, honey. You support me in everything I do, and that's why I love you. All right, I'll let you get back to it, guys.
Picks?
Aw. Oh. The Cuckster.
Cucky's married to a woman?
Well, I don't know about that.
I thought he was banging his stepfather. He always talks about him.
He talked to her in terms of she, but you know what?
Time for email today.
Okay.
Gift certificate to Dirty Dogs. That's dogs with a Z. Guys, Plops here. Doug was feeling sentimental after the Blues fell to pieces the other night. He looked deep into my lazy eye and says to me, Plops, let's become blood brothers, like they do in the old days. I said, Doug, in this day and age, that's just not safe, but I've got a better idea. I propose that instead of blood brothers, we become mud brothers. Doug's all like, what's that, boo? And I'm like, that's when I go into the bathroom
Okay, that's enough. Who was it, Tim?
Misty Plops.
Misty Plops, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time for your use of the English language. Your name just now is going into the Ragazzi suspension logule. Hey, Ragazzi's is now pouring nitro golden air infused with nitrogen. Stop in before tonight's game. Get a little nip. Get a little nip of nitro before you go to the
nip
game.
Nip of nitro.
A like nipper. Yep.
Morning, chuckleheads. Doug, I beseech you. The Blues have not won a series since you suspended Dodum indefinitely. Please do the right thing for St. Louis. Free Dodum, and it will guarantee victory for the Note this Eve. Please, Doug. The Blues postseason life is in your hands. Regards, Stubby Applause.
Do it right now, Doug.
Stubby, I won't.
Doug, for
Stubby
the Blues,
applause.
For the Note, you won't do it right now before Game 7?
You're talking about a hockey game.
Tim,
I can't believe this.
Tim, think about this.
I'm talking about our country becoming a little more civilized.
This is bigger than you. This is
little,
the Note.
A little nicer to one another, not quite so vile. No, I'm coming from a larger platform, Joe.
This is hashtag LGB.
I'm sorry, the answer is no.
Disappointing, sir. TMA from Outside the Studio Edition. Wow, it's hot out here and windy. Hello to the Shrubwalker. Getting a lot of love out here. I'm in a midriff. It's hot. Go Blues. Cucky the Dwarf outside.
Okay. Cucky the Dwarf outside.
The people walking into the building who, like, have real jobs are so confused by this.
I know. We've ruined another neighborhood.
There goes the neighborhood.
Housing values are plummeting.
Please, Blues, win tonight. I don't want to have to shave my playoff shrubs already, but then again, Doug does like me smooth as a twink's underarm. LGBT, Lieutenant Dan's magic legs.
I didn't care for it.
Magic legs.
Lieutenant Dan's magic legs.
I like the name.
Morning, boys. I'm talking to the Blues. You think you can win on talent alone? Gentlemen, you don't have enough talent. You have got to think about something else each and every time you pull on that jersey. You represent yourself and your teammates, and the note on the front is a hell of a lot more important than the name on the back. We play the Hawks tonight. Tonight, we skate with them. Tonight, we stay with them, and we shut them down because we can. Tonight, we are the greatest hockey team in the world. Doug, that's from Jamie Moyer's Fancy Ass Foyer. Wow, that's an original.
Jamie Moyer's Fancy Foyer.
We dine in hell.
Can I get Chuck to say Miguel Angel Jimenez, please?
I believe it's Miguel Angel Jimenez.
Oh,
I believe the Spanish Z is a th.
I don't care for that.
Olathabal.
I really did not like the pronunciation of Olathabal. Really didn't care for it.
Morning, gentlemen. If the Blues win tonight, I will strip down naked and let Doug do whatever he wants to my body. He can really work me out until I'm moaning and quivering like a ladyboy. Hashtag stretch regards.
Leggy Beef Blonde?
Momo. No. Beef Momo.
Oh. Beef Momo, you've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Beef Momo.
And your name has gone into the Ragazzi's suspension log. You. Hey, you want an idea for lunch? I got a steam table there. Open 11 to 2 for a quick lunch. Cafeteria style, 13 different options. You don't know what you want for lunch. You go, let's go to Ragazzi's. We'll have 13 different options. Get in, get out. It's all for $8.50.
What's that? Beef Momo sent the worst picture I've ever seen in my entire life to the text line about a month ago.
What was it, gentlemen?
I'll never forget it. I'll tell you after the show.
Howdy, much like Howard Balzer burning the sage to get the Rams over the hump, we need to take desperate measures for tonight's game. Burn a dummy of the Plowhawk in effigy. It wouldn't take much material. Get a broomstick for the body. Drape a Blackhawk sweater over it. 4 twigs for arm and legs. An old mop for hair. Blow a picture of his face. Make sure you hang a dart from it. Tape an Xbox controller in his hand. A little lighter fluid and whoosh. An offering to the hockey gods right there on Hampton to dispel the curse. Thanks. That's from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Huh. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Guys, I'm scared. I have no faith. Doug, you know me as being a hopeless optimist. But I just don't think the Blues are going to get it done. Now, you may yell at me for not being a real fan, but they don't deserve the benefit of the doubt. They always let me down. They always break my heart. I took the last 2 years exceptionally hard, so much so that I had to force myself to not care about hockey until April this year. Yet here I am, an effing basket case, nervous eating and jerking it 6 times a day. Trying to deal with the anxiety. I don't believe my dad when he says he's going to be at my birthday party because he's 0 for 25. And I don't believe the Blues will do it because... so are they. I hate myself for feeling this way. Do good, avoid evil. The Barnhart Brawler.
Oh, my. Barnhart Brawler.
He's a Bill Maher fan.
Mm-hmm.
Was he there last night?
No, but I feel like he will be. I feel like he is just based on his takes.
Probably would be.
Doug, that's what we have for the email today. What you got?
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech had a nice, it was well written, well thought out, but I would hate to burn anything involving Plowsy. So I'll go for Cucky the Dwarf and his effort to get the fan base going with his Go Blue sign standing outside our door here.
It's kind of a tough call because Cucky came down here to, like, get everybody going, but I don't think his email was very good.
Mm.
But then again, you have the Barnhart Brawler, who really, I think he spoke and wrote what a lot of Blues fans are thinking this morning, and also the fact that his dad hasn't shown up in 25 straight birthday parties. I feel like he could use a gift. So I'm going to go with the Barnhart Brawler.
I'm going with Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Well, so we go to three different votes, so I guess nobody wins.
No, we go to the Speaker of the House, the Plowhawk.
Now, Chuck, I'll just show you how wrong you are by saying Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech wasn't the best email.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech has shipped the email of the day.
Congratulations to Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. It's Frank Cusimano's Hollywood Casino Press Box, and that means this is the Lion's Choice handoff coming up to Frank and the Hollywood Casino Press Box Lion's Choice. Maybe that'd be a nice dish for you tonight with the Blues and Blackhawks and a little Lion's Sea, a little soppings, some fries, fixins
for Game 7.
Yeah. Game 7 at the Scott Trade Center, Blues and Blackhawks.
Who talks like that? Who are we imitating with that?
Somebody should, though. Somebody
it's not an imitation. It's how I talk. I'm doing a big intro.
Okay.
All right. Frank's up next. Lion's Choice, a famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano's Hollywood Casino Press Box. Comes your way next. All right. For Peyton, for the Plowboy, for the Sea Monster, for my brother Kevin, for Charlie Marlowe, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and for Douglas Sullivan Vaughn, I'm Tim McKernan, and this has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM 920 AM and InsideSTL.com live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.